Rubha Uvacha samarina naika bhavena yapadam vidusanandadaya urvarekasa masairaham sadbir amusya padayo shayamupekya pagata patangmati Dhruva Maharaj said, Samadhina, by practicing yoga, never, ekabhavena, by one birth, yat, which, padam, position, vidu, understood, sanandaraya, or brahmachari headed by sanandana. Urvaredasa, infallible celibates, Maasai, within months, Aham, I, Shadi, six, Kamusha, of him, Padayo, Lotus feet, Shayam, shelter, Upecha, achieving, Apagata, fell down. Pratagmati, my mind fixed on things other than the Lord. Translation, Dhruva Maharaj thought to himself, to endeavor to be situated in the shade of the lotus feet of the Lord is not an ordinary task, because even the great brahmachari said by Sanandana, who practiced Sangha Yoga in trance, attained the shelter of the Lord's lotus feet only after many, many births. Within 6 months, I achieved the same result. Yet due to my thinking differently from the Lord, I fell down from my position. Purport of this verse, Dhruva Maharaj himself explains the cause of his moroseness. First, he laments that to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead directly is not easy. Given great standing persons like the four celebrated brahmacharis headed by Sananda, Sananda, Sanaka, Sanatana, and Satkumar, practiced the yoga system for many, many births and remained in trance before getting the opportunity to see the Supreme Lord face to face. As far as Dhruva Maharaj is concerned, he was the Supreme Lord first. He saw the Supreme Lord personally after only 6 months of practice and devotional service. He expected, therefore, that as soon as he met the Supreme Lord, the Lord would take him to his abode immediately without waiting. Dhruva Maharaj could understand very clearly that the Lord had offered him the ruler of the world for 36,000 years, because in the beginning he was under the spell of material energy and wanted to take revenge against his stepmother to rule over his father's kingdom. Guru Maharaj greatly lamented his prosperity, a propensity for ruling the material world, and his revengeful attitude towards other living entities. Text 31, alas, just look at me. I am so unfortunate. I approach the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of God, who can immediately cut the chain, repeated birth and death, but still out of my foolishness I pray for things which are perishable. Report the word on Atmyam is very significant. This verse, Atma means soul, Anatmyam means without connection to the soul. Shilvarishabhadeva instructed his sons that unless a human being comes to the point of understanding the Atma or spiritual position, whatever he does is ignorance. And this brings only defeat in his life. Dhruva Maharaj regrets his unfortunate position, for though he approached the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is always able to give his devotee the highest benediction of cessation of the repetition of birth and death, which is impossible for any demigod to offer, he foolishly wanted something perishable. When Hiranyakasipu asked immortality from Lord Brahma, he expressed his inability to offer such a benediction because he himself is not immortal. Therefore, immortality or complete cessation of the chain of repeated birth and death can be offered by the Supreme Lord, the Personality of God himself, not others. It is said that without the blessings of Hari, the Supreme Personality of God, no one can stop the continuous chain of birth and death in this material world. Therefore, the Supreme Lord is also called Baba Chit. The Vaishnava philosophy in the process of Krishna consciousness prohibits the devotee from all kinds of material aspirations. The Vaishnava devotee should always be anya abhilasha to sunya, free from all material aspirations for results of food activities or pure philosophical speculation. Guru Maharaj was actually initiated by Narada Muni, the great Vaishnava, in the chanting of Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. This mantra is a Vishnu mantra, or by practicing the chanting of this mantra, one is elevated to Vishnu Loka. Guru Maharaj regrets that although he was initiated in the Vishnu mantra by Vaishnava, he still aspired for material benefits. This was another cause for lamentation. Although he got the result of the Vishnu mantra by the cause of mercy of the Lord, he lamented how foolish he was to strive for material benefits while practicing devotional service. In other words, every one of us who is engaged in devotional service in Krishna consciousness is completely free from all material aspirations. Otherwise, we will have to lament like the Maharaj. Text 32, since all the demigods who are situated in the higher planetary system will have to come down again, they are all envious of my being elevated to Vaikuntha Loka by devotional service. These intolerant demigods have dissipated my intelligence, and only for this reason could I not accept a genuine benediction of the instructions of Sage Narada. Report of Shona Mains is in Veda literature, when a person undergoes severe austerity, the demigods become very perturbed because they're always afraid of losing their posts as dominating deities of the heavenly planets. It is known to them that their position in the higher planetary system is impermanent, as is stated in Bhagavad Gita. It is said in the Gita that after exhausting the results of the pious activities, all the demigods who are inhabitants of the higher planetary system have to come back again to this earth. It is a fact that demigods control the different activities of the limbs of our bodies. Actually, we're not free even in moving our eyelids. Everything is controlled by them. Dhruva Maharaj's conclusion is that the demigods, being envious of a superior position in devotional service, conspired against him to pollute his intelligence, and thus, although he was a disciple of a great Vaishnava, Narada Muni, he did not accept Narada's Dhamma's instructions. Now, Dhruva Maharaj regretted very much that he had neglected these instructions. Narada Muni had asked him, why should you bother about insult or adoration for your stepmother? He, of course, said to Dhruva that since Dhruva was only a child, what did he have to do with such insult or adoration? But Dhruva Maharaj was determined to achieve the benediction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore Narada advised him to go back home for the time being, and in mature time he could try to practice devotional service. Dhruva Maharaj regretted that he had rejected the advice of Narada Muni and was adamant in asking him for something perishable, namely revenge against his stepmother for her insult and possession of the kingdom of his father. Dhruva Maharaj regretted very much that he could not seriously take seriously the instruction of a spiritual master, and that the consciousness was therefore contaminated. Still, the Lord is so merciful that due to Dhruva's execution of devotional service, his daughter Dhruva, the ultimate lifetime goal. Dhruva Maharaj thought to himself, to endeavor to be situated in the shade of the lotus feet of the Lord is not an ordinary task, because even the great Brahmacharya said advice, Sanandana, who practiced Astanga Yoga and trance, attained the shelter of the Lord's lotus feet only after many, many births. Within 6 months I achieved the same result, yet due to my thinking different from the Lord, I fell down from my position. So, as was already explained, Dhruva lamented because he practiced mixed bhakti. As a result of that mixed bhakti, he was given material benedictions by the Lord. Of course, at the same time, he was also guaranteed to go to the spiritual world. But this delay of 36,000 years was a problem. So he was rather ashamed of the fact that he had performed such devotional service, which was mixed, even with the, or in spite of the advice of Narada, who advised him to give up his envy and whatever for the kingdom. So nevertheless, he got both things. But he was dissatisfied with that. Now, of course, most people would be satisfied if they get the promise that they go to Vaikuntha, and also they get the kingdom in the world. But we can see that he ultimately had a higher understanding, because he understood that material desires and material benedictions are an obstacle. Of course, it was guaranteed that Dhruva would not fall down from his position in spite of ruling the kingdom. But nevertheless, he is separated from the Lord, so that is an obstacle. So he had to remain in the material world separate from the Lord for a long time. And that was a cause of lamentation for him. So in other words, he was feeling separation from the Lord. And he felt that he was responsible for this because of his conduct. And that is, he practiced mixed devotional service rather than bhakti. And of course, he also attributes this fault to the devatas. The devatas are envious, and therefore they bewildered me. And therefore I develop this desire for kingdom, etc., in spite of having devotional service. So it is true that the devatas do interrupt those practicing. So we see many examples of that. Narayan Rishi were meditating, and then Indra became envious, and he sent some apsaras to tempt Narayan. But of course, Narayan is also an incarnation of the Lord. And then Narayan produced more beautiful apsaras. So they defeated the apsaras from heaven. So in this way, Indra was defeated and the devatas were defeated. So sometimes the devatas do interrupt. And of course, it is also said that when one is trying to get liberated from the material world, yes, the devatas will try to interrupt. And block one's progress, because they also don't have liberation from the material world. However, if one does achieve that status of being detached from the material world, then the devatas actually can do nothing, and they glorify that person. And if a person does bhakti, the devatas are helpless, because the devatas are actually only servants of the Supreme Lord, and the Supreme Lord protects the devotees. So there is no possibility that anyone can interfere with the devotees' progress. They are protected by the Supreme Lord. Of course, we can see that on the path of emotional service, there may be material obstacles. That is definitely there, due to our impressions in the mind, etc., material attachments, we have many obstacles. So in the process of sadhana, we deal with those. But we do not have deliberate interruption or from
outside by other entities because of protection of the Supreme Lord. So anyway, Dhruva was feeling depressed because he'd actually made the wrong choice. So that, of course, is in one sense natural in the material world, because in spite of the fact that bhakti gives the highest thing, most people still have material attachments. So they may understand the value of achieving the Supreme Lord. At the same time, they cannot immediately give up all their material attachments. So therefore, they practice mixed bhakti. So this is a very common type of activity in the material world. However, if we get proper knowledge from devotees who practice pure bhakti, then we can attempt to reject those desires and practice pure bhakti. Even if we have the desires, we understand that devotional service executed for the Lord should be free of those desires. So when we execute bhakti, we do not deliberately pray for material benedictions. So when we come to that stage, then we are ready for Sudha Bhakti, or Uttama Bhakti, pure bhakti. So that's a sadhana we practice until we get to bhava and prema. And by that, we actually get the best result. And if we practice this mixed bhakti, then we get results like Dhruva got. He got, of course, he got a very good result because he saw the Supreme Lord, and he was also guaranteed to go to the spiritual world. But he got delayed also because of his material desires. So the lesson to learn is that the Uttama Bhakti or pure bhakti is preferable to this mixed type of bhakti. But of course, mixed bhakti is also very fortunate, you see, because Dhruva got this result. So mixed bhakti is better than practicing jnana or karma. The Lord does not reveal himself through karma or jnana. But he doesn't reveal himself. Even here in mixed bhakti, he reveals himself and makes a promise to Dhruva. So it is much more fortunate than other processes. But Uttama bhakti is even better. So that was the realization of Dhruva. He understood the difference. And that, of course, is by the mercy of the Lord and the mercy of Narada Muni, that he had such realization. So Narada Muni, of course, was the cause of his practicing bhakti. And of course, Narada Muni also is a Shaktivesh avatar of the Lord. So why is it that his great association did not produce pure bhakti? Instead, in spite of the fact that Narada Muni taught him and gave him mercy and even advised him to give up his desires, still he had those desires. So that is his foolishness. And that's what he laments. He got the great mercy, and he did not immediately give it up. Of course, later he did give it up, so that was ultimately the result of Narada Muni's mercy also. But for a long time he didn't give it up. So in spite of mercy, even the great souls, sometimes people have attachments. They cannot give up those desires. So this is an example of Dhruva Maharaj. If we have the good fortune of understanding the nature of pure bhakti and getting the mercy of devotees in Krishna, then we practice pure bhakti, and this gives the highest result. Yeah, definitely we need mercy. As I said, mercy is very, very necessary to begin bhakti and to practice bhakti all along. Our efforts are important, but also mercy is also important. So we need the mercy of Guru. Of course, Nityananda also represents Guru and also represents the Supreme Lord.
Hmm?
Well, if they do have strong material attachments and they have, still have faith, Krishna accepts that. And therefore, he accepted Dhruva also. Yeah, and even appeared before Dhruva. So, and Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, they're all very dear to me. Arjuna Jagasa, Arjuna Gyan and Chop. Karma Mr. Bhaktas and Gyan Mr. Bhaktas, the Lord is affectionate to them. More than he is affectionate to Karmas and Gyanas. Those people practicing Varnashram system or Gyana and study of Vedanta, he's more affectionate to the mixed devotees. But, of course, he's even more affectionate towards those who practice pure bhakti. So if one is unfortunate to practice mixed bhakti like Dhruva, even then one gets results. But it is better with association, knowledge, and mercy that we actually do pure bhakti. Well, Varnashram and cultivation of being a Brahmana or a sannyasi or renounced, etc., those are not qualifications for bhakti. They may be favorable, but they do not cause bhakti. And therefore, Bhagavatam says that even though Chandala, the dog eater, chants the name of the Supreme Lord, he is superior to the Brahmana. So even the Chandala surpasses the Brahmana if he performs bhakti of any sort. So therefore, Brahmanism is not a qualification for bhakti. It may be favorable, but even one who's not a Brahman can surpass the Brahman by bhakti. So bhakti also creates all of these good qualities. Eventually, through the process of bhakti, all good qualities are there. So whatever qualities the Brahmana has are surpassed by the qualities of the devotee. And therefore Lord Chaitanya says that, of course, Brahmins are there, but superior to the Brahmana is the Vaishnava. He's in a superior position. Yeah, the Brahmana may or may not worship the Lord. And if he does, it may be secondary worship as part of jnana or karma. So he may be doing karma yoga or jnana yoga or astanga yoga or whatever, but one who practices bhakti is superior. Yeah, it's true. If one doesn't take a Brahmana in the Varnashram system, yes, if one does not take one become a Brahmana, one cannot be a sannyasi. That's true. But that is all secondary to being a Vaishnava. If we become Brahmins and we're not Vaishnavas, then we're lost. This is then one becomes a karma yogi, basically. And that is sattva-gun. Brahmins are in sattva-gun. So sattva-gun is also a bondage in the material world. If we get bound up there, of course we can go to Brahmaloka, whatever, but that doesn't guarantee we get Krishna. So this being a Brahman in itself is not good. If one is a Vaishnava and a Brahman, fine. And has Brahminical qualities, that's fine. But that is automatically achieved by the process of bhakti itself. As I said, one who becomes a Vaishnava surpasses the Brahmana. He develops all the qualities of a Brahmana or whatever, but he surpasses them because he worships the Lord. Well, to say that I'm a Vaishnava and be proud of that, that's also not proper. In other words, we think we are the servant of the servant of the servant. We don't think that I am a Vaishnava, he's not a Vaishnava. That's also a faulty concept. But definitely the Lord favors the Vaishnava over everyone else.
I have a question. What's the difference between Dvaita and Vishishtadvaita?
No, this is Madhva's philosophy and Ramanuja's philosophy. It's a philosophical point based on terminologies and attitude explaining relationship of God to matter. So how does God relate to matter? So Madhva simply says, you're separate. God and matter are separate. God and jiva are separate. That's their very nature. Finished. Whereas Ramanuja says everything is one, because the Upanishads say everything is Brahman. So therefore he tries to make everything part of the Supreme Lord, including matter. So that's why it's called Advaita. But it is not the Advaita of Shankaracharya, which he says is where he says the material world is illusion. But he doesn't say it's illusory. But it is part of the Lord, like the leg is part of the body. So it is one with differentiation. The body is one, has a leg. So like that we have God with matter, which is part. That's his analogy. So in that sense it's Vishishta Advaita. Faith. No other qualification. We don't have to be a Brahmana or a whatever. Nothing like that is required. Now to do Karma Yoga, yes, we need qualification in the Varnas. To do Jnana, we need to be Brahminical and Sattvic. Bhakti, no. Well, he did. He didn't tell him to. He said to give up all these desires. Foolish to think of hate your brother and try to get a big kingdom. And Dhruva said, no, I want a kingdom because of the Kshatriya nation.
Thank you.